for the men that I know, I think there's a feeling of stepping on eggshells, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. But I think initially the reaction is that there is a hesitancy to sort of be part of the dialogue and part of the conversation.
Well, the way you can tell that men aren't ready yet is because they have to jump on board with Me Too, right? They can't just be quiet.
We're asking, how will the Me Too movement affect dating? On this episode of The Gender Knot, the podcast where we untangle the new masculinity and femininity. I'm Nastran Tavakoli-Farr, also known as Naz, and in this episode, we're also going to introduce our new co-host for season two.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Freeman. You've heard me on a bunch of episodes last season, especially dealing with emotion and leadership. And I also spoke about Hillary Clinton and what happened, her new book.
So you were basically on the Hillary episodes. You're like our political expert.
Well, I wouldn't say political expert. I would just say maybe resident political hack.
So Jonathan's going to be co-hosting season two with me, which is out on January 8th. We're going to be looking at topics such as how men can be better feminists. We're going to ask about why we're scared of ambitious women, and we'll explore if men can fail. But before then, we're doing this bonus episode because there's basically been so much talk about Me Too and the culture of sexual harassment and how that affects our interactions in general.
Since I'm in LA and it's lovely and gorgeous, we wanted to talk to one of the best people in LA, which is Dan Carroll of the podcast Fine and Dandy with Dan and Andy.
It's hosted by two cisgendered straight white men, and their podcast is all about exploring these issues of how to be a better ally, basically. We're going to look at some of the important debates that have been sparked by the Me Too movement. So we thought we'd focus on dating, because I guess people are still going to want to date, right? Or maybe they just don't know how to date now and they're just freaked out because of Me Too.
I think people are definitely, you know, certainly men seem to be, I think, ridiculously freaking out about dating. But, you know, as you and I discuss, millennials don't seem to date. They seem to just sort of hang out.
Exactly, hang out, and they're not getting into relationships, if you believe all these, like, scary think pieces.
Well, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works for Jewish moms, but, you know, my mother would still like more grandchildren. So I guess at some point I have to date.
So we're going to talk to Daniel Carroll about this. Also, just a quick heads up, we talk about the short story in The New Yorker that's gone viral recently called Cat Person. But anyway, here it goes.
I feel like long run, it's going to be great because everyone is being very honest about how they feel about certain situations. You know when you have like a fight with someone and at the time it's painful but it's good long run because you clear the air and then, you know, 3 months later you're like, it was really good we had that fight. I think long run dating will be even better.
I agree with that. I think especially with the women that I've met, at least, who have been victims of sexual assault and rape and things like that, it comes with, and I hate to use this term, but it comes with a lot of baggage. You know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. where you go into a relationship, it's hard to trust people again. There's emotional and like physical instability around certain situations, you know, nervousness, tension. It's not until you are able to talk about those things and process them and move past them that you can start to actually like be comfortable around, you know, intimate relationships. And so getting that stuff out, as painful as it is and as like nauseating as it is to see it in such scale, I think, like you said, long term, it's going to improve things greatly because people won't be carrying that anymore.
So this is Jonathan. I feel I should distinguish myself from Dan. For the men that I know, I think there's a feeling of stepping on eggshells, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. But I think initially the reaction is that there is a hesitancy to sort of be part of the dialogue and part of the conversation. And again, highlighting that this is not a bad thing. I remembered there was some sort of either article or commentary where, you know, men are like, you know, so we're just all supposed to be very sensitive and blah, blah, blah. And some woman brilliantly pointed out, you mean like, yeah, like women have had to be for like 1,000 years.
Yep.
And I think that's absolutely fair. I mean, I think there's going to be a process for men to go through in terms of developing and emoting and creating a level and a feeling of empathy. But I think that most men in general, and to a certain extent, I think probably myself included, are not there yet. But I have faith because I'm the optimist of the group.
Well, the way you can tell that men aren't ready yet is because they have to jump on board with Me Too, right? They can't just be quiet.
how do they jump on Me Too without sort of either A, sounding like a bunch of pandering douchebags, or B, sort of like doing kind of, you know, a non-internalizing?
The way I've done it is to just be quiet.
Don't need to say anything.
I just
But weren't
out.
You both just saying that they need to be on board with Me Too? So how are you on board without vocalizing or communicating it?
Okay, you get on board by listening to people's experiences. And by listening, I feel like men have this need to immediately jump in. And it's like, what you do is you listen to people's experiences so that in 4 months' time, when you are in a situation with someone, then you are a bit more empathetic. Do you know what I mean? It is that you are going to put this into action. You don't need to act now. You're going to act long run.
Right.
So like right now, you can just listen to people. When a situation comes up, then you are a little bit more of a sensitive person.
Well, and I try to have those conversations more one-on-one. Instead of,
with
instead
men?
Of, well, with men, with women, with whomever. Like if somebody asks my opinion or wants my input, you know, I talk to them on a personal level. I don't go blasting it on the internet. I don't think my opinion matters a whole hell of a lot in the Me Too movement. I think any guy that thinks it does is just a dude who's being a dude about it. And I'm not going to lie, like my first instinct, like reading stories and hearing things is always, well, yeah, that's happened to me. Like, come on. What I try to do is not act on that, you know?
A few weeks ago, we had an episode on Me Too. It was me and a female guest. And we were talking about just this, about all these men coming on the internet and, you know, giving their feelings. And also men coming and talking about times they had harassed someone. Mm-hmm. And we were like, no, piss off and feel bad about it on your own. And what is interesting is that so many women got back to me and they were like, I absolutely loved that. And it wasn't that I had given them a new thought. It was what we were all thinking. That, like, we actually don't want men to come and, like, give their opinion or talk about the time they did something shitty. Like, no, go away and process it. This whole cat person story that's going around is interesting for a similar reason, because it's, like, a lot of conversations that women have amongst themselves that are never public, that are now public.
I had, like, a serious conversation with a friend of mine who had not shared her Me Too story publicly, but shared it with me privately. I did sit there and listen, and we had a conversation around a couple things where she was pushing me and asking me a couple things, and we had, in our normal tradition, an argument about it. But in general, I mean, I certainly got a lot out of it, and, you know, at some point, if I ever see either of the guilty men, I feel like I'm going to probably end up taking on like a standard typical male thing and kick the living shit out of them. But, you know, that's really more for me to feel good, probably, than for
right.
her to feel good.
That doesn't help anybody except you.
I'm going to feel better.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel better.
I'm really into that, man. I'm sorry. I'm really into, like, if someone messes me over and one of my guy friends is like, look, here you go. I mean, it doesn't have to be physical violence, but I'm really not into this, like, everyone stay out of everyone's business. Like, I expect loyalty from my friends. Going up to someone and being like, hey, I heard about this. I don't think that's okay. Like, you know, you can have a conversation. But this whole culture of no one say anything everyone be nice is like, screw that. Like, you know, no. Like,
well, I think that's the whole point of what's going on, is that people are done just not saying anything and being nice. And I fully support that.
Something that has come up in what you have hinted at and that a lot of women are saying is the inability of men to take no for an answer, or to actually listen to what women are saying. And I'm not even talking about extreme cases of like actual assault taking place. I find, again, not even just in sort of romantic situations, I find again and again, I will very clearly tell a guy something and they will keep pushing as though like I'm somehow lying or I'm somehow pulling wool over their eyes or something. And this comes up again and again. You tell a guy, like, I don't know, they're interested in you, and you're like, okay, that's cool, can you give me a bit of time? And then they push, and then you get annoyed at them, and they're like, oh, I thought you were flirting, or I thought you were playing hot and cold, or I thought you were leading me on, or whatever. And it's like, what part of listening to a woman can you not understand? And I don't know if there's this cultural expectation that, like, oh, of course women don't mean what they say. I don't know. It's, like, really frustrating. And I think that comes up in a lot of these scenarios, like, as though women are somehow being manipulative in their language. Is that a weird point I've just made because we've both gone silent?
Well, I think we're both just trying to say what we're thinking without being assholes. which is that, like, I think a lot of times, and this is not specific to, you know, relationship type stuff, but I think a lot of times women are manipulative with their language.
In fairness, it seems like a lot of that is, and the sort of the conversation around the cat person thing, which I did not like because, you know, it was the New Yorker.
I thought it was really good. I saw it as less gendered. I thought it was just two immature people who couldn't communicate. Mm.
I would agree with that.
This thing of, like, and again, I'm not talking about extreme scenarios, but this thing of, and there was a piece in the New York Times, this thing of, like, women say yes when they mean no. If you're not in danger, then speak up. And I think this sort of trying to shift the blame onto society doesn't let me say no. I don't know if that's harsh.
Well, hold on a second. I would disagree with the initial premise that you were talking about. She was commenting on the fact of, you know, the entire title of the article is when yes is easier than saying no. And so this kind of brought up, like, what is our obligation as men? And I think to a certain extent, where this comes in is the obligation of men is to create a space where women feel comfortable and safe saying no. And then at that point, you know, if women are still sort of saying yes, and, you know, in order to avoid no, then I think back to your point of, you know, it's a little bit on women. But I mean, I think, you know, it starts to a certain extent, and I thought it was interesting. I was listening to another podcast. We won't mention their name, but this woman was a comedian, was highlighting, you know, about her own sexual harassment case and situation. And her husband was just sort of like, I don't understand why this doesn't happen. And she's like, listen, you're a 6 foot, 200 pound white male. Like, there is a very, very big, there's a physical difference. And so men, in terms of our interaction with other men, like, there is always sort of an element of not wanting to be too much of a dick, because there is a physical element of I could get my ass kicked that sometimes could occur. And I think we're not as sensitive about that to women, because obviously the chances of us getting our ass kicked by a woman is deeply diminished.
Interesting. I feel the exact opposite. Like, I do not care if a guy kicks my ass. I will be so much more of, like, an intimidating prick to men than to women.
Right, but the fact that you're an intimidating prick to men, to what extent does that have to do with the fact of a physical sense of confidence that if something gets thrown down, you can get yourself out of it?
Well, like, I think I could get myself out of it with women a lot better than I could with men, statistically.
Statistically, right.
There are definitely women who would beat the shit out of me, and that's great, and I support
that. I have
five
bucks on that.
Maybe it's that I'm, like, less worried about it turning physical because I'm not worried that I'll have to hit a woman. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. I don't want it to come to that, so I'm not a jerk to them. Whereas with dudes, I'm like, I don't care.
But
I feel it's not just about physical threats. I feel there is a lot of sort of emotional violence from men that we deal with as women. And there's often this case that if something isn't physical, then it's not hurtful. But there's a lot of emotional manipulation. There's a lot of guys, like, emotionally taking their shit out on us that we deal with all the time. So that's why, with the whole sort of women finding it hard to say no when they want to, I'm like, if there isn't a physical threat, what if you're going to hurt someone's feelings, hurt someone's feelings. That's part of being an adult, you know, of not letting people walk all over you, of sticking up for yourself. Part of being an adult is you're going to hurt people's feelings and they're going to hurt yours, and that's how we grow.
Hold on. Otherwise, but isn't also part of being an adult understanding that you've gotten yourself into a situation where you have to deal with the consequences?
You can turn around and say, hey, I'm sorry, I've changed my mind. You have that right.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe this is the thing. Maybe the thing is that, like, it's about having a sense of self-worth, that I have the right to say I've changed my mind. And the person receiving that also realizing that that person has the right to change their mind, you know? So maybe that's what maturity is about, like, respecting ourselves and other people enough that we can have these conversations and not worry about hurting someone's feelings or get defensive and, like, you know, get upset when someone disagrees with us or doesn't want to do what we want. I just feel like a lot of these conversations are about maturity.
I agree with you. And I think, honestly, I think it's maturity on both sides, because, you know, women feel like they can't say, like, oh, I've changed my mind, because of what it's going to do to the man. You know what I mean? It's going to make him feel like, oh, she doesn't want me. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, you know, X, Y, or Z. And the inability for him to then just listen to, you know, that feedback and actually hear it for what it is, which is, you know, hey, I thought I wanted this and I don't. I'll call you tomorrow is a good enough answer. It doesn't have to be more than that, and it doesn't have to mean more than that. But we always hear, and I think this goes for everyone, when somebody says no to us in any way, we always hear it as, I'm the worst thing that's ever happened. It goes on all sides, right? Where it's where we are societally conditioned to place our feelings in the hands of other people.
Isn't that like the worst sort of enabling is to allow someone else our feelings on some level to be determined by someone else?
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And so a woman is putting herself in a situation where she doesn't want to hurt someone else's feelings. And so she's allowing herself to be hurt. And that's just that whole thing of like, if we could just not give a shit, or not necessarily not give a shit what other people say or do, but just not let it control our insides.
It also works on the other end as well. Like someone who has a good level of self-worth who hears no will think that, okay, that is, that person has changed their mind, rather than I'm an awful, horrible right. person. They've just attacked me. It's like, no, I don't know. I feel like being emotionally secure is the best thing on earth, because like everyone goes around respecting themselves and each other. And I don't know. I just feel like a lot of these conversations kind of go down to like a lack of self-worth and a lack of maturity and security, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Something that has come up a lot in these discussions over the past few weeks has also been about dating and work, because a lot of the sort of really bad abuses we've been hearing have been in the workplace. So there's been kind of a lot going around about how, you know, so many people meet their spouses through work. And, you know, work is a place where we get to know people. And it's kind of natural that you make really good friends or you make relationships through your colleagues. And that is an interesting thing with like men being really like scared about, oh, am I allowed to ask my colleague out? Am I allowed to have a relationship? And again, it's a bit weird for me hearing this, because I'm like, you know, if you just don't act like a jerk, it's fine. Men are making too much of a big deal out of it in a way that is kind of making women be silent.
I sent you that one article with the lawyer in California who has been dealing with sexual assault in the workplace for many, and sexual harassment in the workplace. And I thought she made a brilliant point. She's like, of course people are going to be dating at work. She said, it's very simple. It's that don't date your subordinates. Don't create a situation that could be in any way misconstrued as a power dynamic. It seems a pretty simple baseline, you know, do's and don'ts. And then, you know, if you want to ask somebody out. And when they say, no, I'm not interested, be like, okay, cool, see you around. And then don't, you know.
Don't, like, leave shit on their desk every day.
That's bad form.
And, like, block bad their form. Parking spot.
Well, you know, maybe they have a really good parking spot.
Maybe that's why you asked them out to begin with.
That could be true, yeah.
I'm like, guys, it isn't that hard. And I think by, like, somehow being like, oh, this is so complicated, I feel it's a little bit manipulative of some men, because it's a little bit like, don't ever raise anything, or, you know.
I don't think it's manipulative. I think it's more of just an immediate immature reaction. I don't think there's a self-awareness there yet to be a manipulative thing. I think it's just like, oh, I can't do it my way. Meh.
Right. And that's it. It's for me, and this is me speaking as a man. I don't speak for all men, but for me, if change has to happen, and this is, I hate saying this out loud, but it's true, and I will speak my truth. If change has to happen, it will be my idea. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, if change has to happen, I'm going to be the one that's like, this needs to change. And so right now what's happening, and this is widespread across the planet, all these changes are being brought up and men are terrified because it's not their idea. And it's whether or not these are good changes or bad changes. It's not my idea. And so I hate it. And give it 3 months. and then what I'll do is everything will quiet down. And then I'll be like, hey, you know what? We should have a conversation about this. And then everybody will be like, yeah, we tried to fucking do that. And I'll be like, no, but this is different because it's my idea. And then everything will be fine.
This is where women like placate men and are like, yeah, no, Dan, that was a great idea that I had
seven months ago,
right? Dan, you're a genius.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of this. And I think that in itself needs to change. And the more I think as men we can openly admit to that, the less it will hold us down. If we can talk about it, if we can actually admit that that's a thing that we do, that's one step closer to getting rid of it as a thing that we do. Then we can start to actually have dynamic progress where it's coming from all sides, not just like, you know, somebody says something, we kind of disregard it, and then eventually a man goes, hey, you know, I was thinking about this, and we make a change.
You heard from Daniel Carroll, one of the hosts of the podcast, Fine and Dandy with Dan and Andy.
We were talking about the Me Too movement and how it will affect dating.
This episode was hosted by me. I'm Nasrin Tavakolifar, or Naz in short.
And it was co-hosted by me, Jonathan, a.k.a. Jonathan.
It was co-produced by Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell. We'll be back on January 8th with Season 2, where we'll be discussing topics such as how can men be better feminists?
And we're going to ask about why we're scared of ambitious women. You can find us at thegenderknot.com, and that's not spelled K-N-O-T.
And you can drop us your thoughts via thegenderknot@gmail.com. Okay, we'll speak to you on January 8th. Have a good new year. Bye for now.
Bye.